الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما. ويدعو الإنسان بالشر دعاءه بالخير وكان الإنسان عجولا. وجعلنا الليل والنهار آيتين فمحونا آية الليل وجعلنا آية النهار مبصرة لتبتغوا فضلا من ربكم ولتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب وكل شيء فصلناه تفصيلا. صدق الله العظيم.
In our last session we were talking about how the Quran was compiled during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The concern of Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu about the protection of the Quran, and then finally forming a committee for compiling the Quran. And I mentioned that they put four conditions for writing any ayah into that book that they were compiling, and that Quran that they were compiling in the form of a book. We have to keep in mind that when they were compiling that Quran, they did not compile the whole thing in the form of one book. They compiled it in the form of surahs. So the whole Surah Baqarah will be like one book. Surah Al-Imran will be one book. Surah An-Nisa will be one book. Each surah was on separate booklet type of thing. But they had four conditions for writing any ayah in that book that they were compiling, so that they can make sure and they are certain that each and every ayah that they are writing was exactly and is getting written exactly in the same form as it was revealed through Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And not only this, that they wanted to make sure, if they just wanted to make sure, it was enough for them to write it from their memory and still they will be sure. And there were many other huffaz from Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in who can revise it and confirm it. They wanted to prove to people till the Day of Judgment that no one can have any doubt about any single dot of Qur'an al-Kareem. So that till the day of judgment, no one will be able to point to anything in Quran al-Kareem and open his mouth or say and say anything about any word or any dot of Quran al-Kareem, that this is not how it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first way of confirming was Zayd radiallahu anhu confirming it from his memory. The second way was Umar radiallahu anhu confirming it from his memory. The third thing was every Sahabi who brings that right, that Quran, the ayah of Quran in writing, has to bring two witnesses that this ayah was written in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was recited back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and confirmed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is how it should be recited. And number four, after having all of these conditions fulfilled, I'm sure this is enough and more than enough to confirm that this is the exact revelation that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they added one more condition, because other Sahaba during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to memorize the ayahs of the Quran and to teach it to their wives and children, they used to write it in small pieces of leaves and papers, or if they were available, and at the same time they would write it on pieces of bones and different things. So they would ask all the Sahaba to bring their writings that they wrote it for themselves. So they will match those writings with this writing that they got it from these Sahaba. And then finally, after confirming it from all four sources, they would write it down in that booklet. I was surprised. After all of this, a person still will dare to open his mouth and say that this was not written at that time. One of the Orientalists, Arthur Jeffrey, he wanted to do a research about Quran. I'm sure he knew that Bible is not worth doing any research on, so he wanted to do it on Quran for some reason. And finally, he ended up having the result of his research was that Quran was not written at all during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was not even written during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Ask the poor ignorant man why. This is, I guess, we have to say about him. If we would like to have a good intention about this man, we will say that he is a poor ignorant man. Otherwise, we might use some other words similar to arrogant or something like that. That will be the least. Although that might be the fact, but we will keep our intentions clean, I guess. And ask this man, why do you think it was not written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Not even on pieces of papers, nothing, on leaves, on stones, nothing. It was not written at all. He says because of the hadith that's in Sahih al-Bukhari. He's proving it from Sahih al-Bukhari. What's the hadith? The hadith says, and I narrated this hadith last week also, that Umar radiallahu anhu said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr, I'm afraid that we will lose the Quran if these Sahaba will keep on getting killed this way, getting martyred in the battlefield. Because about 700 of Hufaz from Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in were murdered in the Battle of Yamama, fighting against Musaylimah Kadhab. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I'm afraid we will lose the Quran this way if these people will keep on getting murdered in the battlefield. And of course we can't stop the jihad, so we should compile the Quran. So he's saying, see, Umar radiallahu anhu saying, I'm afraid we will lose it. If it was in writing at that time, then there was no fear of losing it. Sometimes you really get amazed when you look at these writings. If any one of us I don't want to say we know this hadith in our mind, in our hearts, but if we go back to Sahih al-Bukhari and pick up that book and find out what is the hadith that exactly is, what are the wordings of the hadith and what is it that the hadith is exactly saying, you will find out that he got a small piece of a long hadith. The complete hadith is that Umar radiallahu anhu said, I'm afraid that people will forget the Quran and will not have the Quran, let's have it written. And then the hadith continues that then they asked Zayd radiallahu anhu to write it, and Zayd radiallahu anhu got it from all the Sahaba, and they had it written from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says the next part of the hadith is unauthentic. The first part of the hadith is very authentic. Amazing. You break one complete incident into two parts, and the first part is authentic, the next part is not authentic. He's trying to prove from the same hadith, the hadith that's proving that it was written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think he's using a white out for the next part of the hadith. He takes the first part of the hadith and he says this is a very authentic hadith. And this hadith proves that it was not written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he writes few more lines and then he says there is other hadith. This is another misleading point. Other hadith is not another hadith, it's the same hadith. He said that hadith is very weak, although it's in Bukhari, that says that it was written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not an authentic hadith. When we look at these points, I don't want to go into those details. There are many if we go to these points one by one. But after looking at these objections, there is one thing we have to say for sure. After going through all of their objections that they have against Quran, I'm sure a non-Muslim who has a little understanding will come back to us and will say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Quran is the most authentic book in the world, because they could not find any objection, therefore they are bringing these type of things that we might call it a joke. If they would like to fabricate something, let's fabricate something that can be strong proof. But they cannot even go to that point of bringing, making up. They want to make up. And even in making up, they cannot make up something that can be strong, and making up these type of things. That clearly tells us they could not find anything else, so they have to just satisfy their anger just with these minor things and trying to change the facts and mislead the people. Because the reason is very simple. Because the Muslim Ummah again and again is telling these people, your Bible is not authentic. We are challenging them. We are proving it to them. We are giving them reference from Bible, contradictory in the Bible. So finally, to satisfy their anger, they have to say something. A father gets angry, or a teacher gets angry on this student, and he shouts at the child, next time I don't want you to come late in the class, and you must bring your books and you bring your homework ready. And the student keeps his head down, he walks out of the class, he says to his colleagues, you know, when I was standing there, you see my mouth was moving? I said, I cursed him. Did you see my lips? I cursed at him. He satisfied his anger. He might have said it in his heart, you know. So he satisfied. Now he goes out and he says, you know, I cursed at him when I was there. Did you see my lips moving? This is exactly what they're doing. That could not find anything else. So now break the hadith into two pieces. One part is not good, the other part is good. And at least, you know, I can say to myself, I did something, you know, I did it. This Qur'an, after it was compiled during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, of course, as I said, it was, each surah was on a separate booklet. Then during the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, it was compiled in the form of one complete booklet, book. Then they put all the surahs together, put the order of the surahs together, and they compiled it in the form of one book, the way we have it up to this day. And this is why it's called Mushaf Uthmani. And the writing of it is called Khat Uthmani, Uthmani calligraphy. And all the Ummah agrees now that no one is allowed to change even the calligraphy of the Quran. We are not allowed to change it. The reason is, take a very simple example, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Try to go back to your memory and think how the word Bismillah is written in Quran. You will find it. Go back to the Quran, you will find it is Ba Seen Meem. Whereas really, in the Arabic language, if you want to write with the name of, on the name of, starting with Ba, the word is Ism, Alif Seen Meem, so you have to put Ba Alif, then Seen Meem, Bi Ismi, with the name of. But you will find it in this Quran, we are missing that Alif. And says Bismi. But if we write it in any other form, for example, I want to say about someone else with the name of this, so I would say Bi Ismi. That's the writing they used. Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhi Majma'in used at that time, and we have to keep it the way they wrote it. And there are many other words that are written in a similar way in Quran al-Kareem. We have to keep them in the same form the way they, those people wrote it. Making the changes now to write it in the way we think it's pronounced is not allowed, and the whole Ummah agreed on this point that changing it is not allowed anymore. Mushaf Uthmani has to remain because Ijma' al-Sahaba and the Ijma' of the whole Ummah that this is how this Quran has to be written. At that time when they wrote the Quran, it did not have the dots in it. For example, there won't be a dot under the Ba. For that, they won't have two dots on top of it. For that, they won't have the three dots on top of it. Sheen, they won't keep put the dots. How would people read it? We got to realize, Arabs, they use, for non-Arabs, there is a word they use it. If you recall, that word is Ajam. You know what is the word Ajam means? Ajam means a person who cannot speak just like animals. This is exactly what this word means. People are ajam means they don't know how to speak. They don't have a language. So Arabs call everyone else, and they used to call everyone else ajam, that these people don't have a language. Comparing to our languages, this is a language? To tell you the truth, forget about the Arabic language. When I look at the English language comparing to the Urdu language, it's really ajam. It's not a language. There are so many words over there, you can never find the proper match for those words. You have to say at least 4 or 5 words in order to express the feeling of one word you get it from Urdu or Arabic language. So this is why they used to call non-Arabs ajam. And that word now is used for non-Arabs all the time. Quran uses وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا أَعْجَمِيًّا لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if we would have revealed this Quran into a Ajami language, which means in non-Arabic language, the objection of those people would have been لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ. فَصَّلَ means to open up something, to make it clear. Why these ayats are not clear? You can't even understand what this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say if it was in any other language other than Arabic. You won't get the right feeling and the right meanings of the ayahs. So Allah chose that language because of the importance of that language and the depth of the language. The real message that Quran is revealing could never be expressed and revealed in any other language. Allah Himself says that people would always object if this Quran was in any other language, but people would have said that we can't understand what He's trying to say. لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ. Why the ayahs are not clear? This is why he said, I revealed it in Arabic. So I was mentioning these people never used to put dots. Why? This is part of that. They were so proud of the language. They were so excellent in that language. Their whole energy was used for getting better into their languages. This is why if we look into the history, we find always the competitions at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the days of Jahiliyyah, their competition was who can speak a better language and who can say better points. This is why when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the time he received the Quran and the revelation started, at that time and before that, they had some poems that were hanging on the Kaaba. Poems hanging on the Kaaba. Why? Because those poems were so high in the language that they thought they are worthy of keeping on the house of God. That no one can make anything similar to this, and this is the greatest challenge for them. This is the most important and the best field to them. Those points, up to this day, they do exist in the form of a book called As-Sab'a Al-Mu'allaqat. Sab'a means seven. Allaqa yu'allaqu means to hang something. Sab'a Al-Mu'allaqat, the seven hanging points, which means those that were hanging on the wall of the Kaaba. Do you know when those points were taken off the Kaaba? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and put Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar on the wall of the Kaaba, and he said, bring something similar to this. Those people went and they took, pulled all of those poems away and ran away. But we can never bring anything comparable to this. All of those poems were taken away. Now Inna a'tainaka is hanging on the wall of the Kaaba. So those people, they used to say, كَثْرَةُ النُّقَطِ فِي الْكِتَابِ. There was a saying in Arabic. كَثْرَةُ النُّقَطِ فِي الْكِتَابِ سُوءُ ظَنِّمْ بِالْمَكْتُوبِ إِلَيْهِ. If you have too many dots in a writing, you're writing a letter to someone and you put too many dots in there, simply means you are doubting the knowledge of the person who's going to read it. That this person is ignorant, he doesn't know what he's going to be reading, therefore he needs the dots in order to read. Otherwise, there shouldn't be any need to have those. This was their theory. That you should know by reading whether this is bow or this is noon. Whether you should have a dot on the bottom or on top. You should know it by reading it. We will never know it. But their language was so high that they used to say, if you need the dots to read the letter, you are ignorant. Imagine. Some of the letters that they used to write, I just remember a beautiful example of that. During the time of one of these Khulafa Umayyin, the Khalifa asked a person to write a letter to his friend. His friend had done something against the Khalifa and ran out of the country. He escaped from the country. And he had a friendship with a person who was close to the king. So the king asked him, he said, write a letter to him, inviting him back to the country and telling him that we won't do nothing to him. So he wrote a letter to him. Of course, the king is asking him and ordering him, and he made him write the letter in front of him, and then he would send it with his own man that can get to that person before any other letter can get to him. So he wrote the letter in front of the king. And then he said, Insha'Allah, I will be looking forward to see you. And when he put Insha'Allah, he put Tashdeed, you know, Shadda. He put the Shadda on top of the Noon. Insha'Allah doesn't have a Shadda on top of the Noon. It will be Inna Sha'Allah. That's wrong. But he put the Shadda there. And he sent the letter. The friend sent him the letter back saying that I will be coming soon, and I was very happy to hear that the king is pleased and he's not going to be hurt me anymore. So I really look forward to come back and see my family. And inna, he puts the alif afternoon. Inna sha'Allah, I will be coming very soon. That's wrong. Inshallah, he added alif after noon. So this man added shadda, and that man added alif.
King reads the letter and he's very happy that soon he will be coming, and this friend knows that, okay, I can wait my message, and he's not coming.
How?
He says, I have conveyed my message and my friend is not going to come. He knows.
Why?
When he put the shadda on the noon, he's referring to an ayah of Quran telling him, إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ. There is an ayah in Quran, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. A man came to Musa alayhi salam when he pushed another man, and that man died. So one of the people came to him and he said, إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُكَ. These people are planning to kill you. So this shadda is referring to inna, that's in that ayah. So that person got the message and he wrote it back, Inna sha Allah, I will come very soon, is referring to another ayah of Quran that says, Inna lannadkhulaha, I will never come back, is referring to that ayah. So just reference it by shadda, by alif. Inna sha Allah, I will come very soon, and by that alif is telling him, I'm referring to that ayah that says, Inna lannadkhulaha, I will never enter that town. This is how weak they were in that language and how mastered they were in that language. And up to now we have many of those long khutbahs, poems. You read them from top to bottom, you read them from bottom to top. You will be reading the same thing, the same exact words and same exact message. You start from top, start from bottom, whichever way you want. They have long khutbahs, one word with a dot, another word without a dot. Professionals in the language. They have long khutbahs that no letter at all with any dot. A whole khutbah, every letter is only with dots. Will not use any letter that does not have a dot. This is how they were professionals in that language. So this is why they did not need those dots in Quran al-Kareem at that time. So finally, during the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, he realized that now we really need these dots because we have conquered many other countries and those people will need to read the Quran. So Ali radiallahu anhu asked a person called Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. He asked Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali to put the dots in Quran al-Kareem. So he put the dots there. So now we can tell Umar radiallahu anhu is standing with his idea of compiling the Quran. That was the first step. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu compiles the Quran. This is the second step. Third step, Uthman radiallahu anhu compiles the Quran in the form of one book. And the fourth step, Ali radiallahu anhu putting the dots in the Quran. Or four khulafa getting involved in it. Finally, after that, there was a need of putting the vowels also in Quran, Fatha, Kasra, and Dhamma. And it's very amazing. But at the same time, when we look at the history, you can tell that it's normal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses every type of people for the service of deen. That the person who put the vowels in Quran, or who ordered these vowels to be put in Quran, was Hajjaj bin Yusuf. A person who killed many Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, including Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu. He killed many great tabi'een. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that if all the nations in the world will bring the most tyrant people and bring a group of tyrant people they have in their history, and they will bring them to us, and we will just bring Hajjaj bin Yusuf, one person, to compare all with all of those people, we will have a better person, a more tyrant ruler that history have ever seen, and that will be Hajjaj bin Yusuf. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used him for this also. And he's the one who got all of these vowels put into the Quran. Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma. All of these are put by him.
And subhanAllah, we don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be judging the Quran on the Day of Judgment. This is only Him who knows how to judge. With all of those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in on one side of the scale, that He killed all of these people. And with this, all of this Quran being recited till the Day of Judgment on the other side of the scale, it's only Him who can judge. But this is, in brief, some steps that those people took in order to make this Quran be readable for all of us, and this is how we have it in this form today. Of course, there are some more details about the orders, how it was revealed, and then what is the order now, how did we get this order from, but this is another subject. Inshallah, some other time we will talk about this. Now, inshallah, we'll be going back to our main subject that we were talking about, our ancestors, and we were talking about Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And in this regard, we talked about how the Quran was compiled during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat al-Mustaqim, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to benefit from this Quran and to follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sha'ir al-muslimina wal muslimat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.